The economy is on everyone's minds these days. The financial temples of Wall Street seem to crumble by the week, but how is it trickling down to the rest of us? Our bloggers have been sounding off on these topics, and now we're going to give them the floor. On today's Bloggers Roundtable, we have Jasmine Canick. She blogs at jasminecanick.com. Ron Scott, who blogs for the Detroit News, and Jay Smooth. He video blogs at illdoctrine.com. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Nice to have you. And Jasmine, you're sitting here in the studio with me. I understand that you have been talking a lot about this on your blog lately and that you wrote something. Here's a quote from it. The crisis in question was neither caused by me or you, and it's still unclear how taxpayers benefit from the footing of the bill to fix it. So, am I to take from that that you and some of the folks on your blog don't want to pay this $700 bailout, huh?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I just came back from Washington. I was actually at the Capitol when all of this was going on. It was very interesting. And I just find that, you know, given today's economic situation, it's always interesting when we can just miraculously find these billions of dollars to bail folks out, but we can't find the same amount of money to help people like me and you and sort of like our everyday average folks. You know, there's always that, but there's not enough money for that, and there's not enough money for that. But hey, it's Wall Street. We can find these billions of dollars. And as the average, you know, I consider myself to be an average person, I just want to know, hey, where's this money coming from? I didn't cause this problem. Why? You know, I almost feel like my tax dollars are being used against me right now.
Really?
And it's very frustrating. And I think, you know, the average person who doesn't have a lot of knowledge about how, you know, sort of the stock market works, how Wall Street works, you know, if they're even in tune into what's going on, they're a bit confused, and they want answers. And I'm one of those people. I want to know.
Want some answers. Let's go to Detroit. You know, in Detroit, Ron, I was in Detroit not that long ago, and you can clearly see just by being downtown some of the, you know, economic depression that has struck that city. What's been the response to the call for the bailout from your perspective?
Well, it's interesting in terms of what Jasmine had to say is because the auto industry here, they're calling for another bailout. They're calling for $25 or $50 billion, depending upon which presidential candidate is proposing it. And here you have an auto industry that has engaged in, and I was just looking at some of the individuals or some of the companies that were most involved in junk bond activity, and two of them are part of the big three or four, General Motors and GMAC. So in effect, a lot of the miscues, a lot of the mismanagement, a lot of the just downright thievery is reflecting itself in a loss of homes and loss of jobs. You know, I wouldn't give General Motors one wheel on a car right now because, in effect, created a lot of the crisis that we have, you know. And if Rick Wagoner, in fact, were a coach in the NBA, he'd be fired. But he says on CNBC the other night, hey, yeah, well, China is the new center of our activity. I mean, how dare you? So, in effect, Detroit reflects, and next year, I'm glad you asked that, next year, Detroit is going to be the center of a major international economic summit that the Economic Club here is calling for. But it reflects the worst part of this industry. And I just want to say this because I heard your guest earlier and they suggested that, oh, well, the economy is having a meltdown. This is typical. No, no. The economy is not some amorphous thing out in space. There are people that caused this, and they need to be charged criminally.
And
they need to go to jail.
Well,
they need to go to jail.
Well, look, all right, we're going to follow that point up, but I want to bring Jay into the conversation because, Jay, we've got two strong opinions so far about what's going on, who's responsible, who should pay for it or who should not. What are they saying on your blog? What are you saying?
I think people that I speak to have a very similar reaction. There's a lot of frustration with certainly citizens who took out bad loans should take a share of the responsibility, but I think it seems like people are eager to distribute the responsibility, but there's not a distribution of the accountability. It seems like maybe citizens should take some of the blame, but it seems like we'll be footing all of the bill while corporate interests get all of the bailout. And certainly most of our layman understandings of this issue are limited. And, I mean, you know, we're supposed to take it on faith that this is absolutely necessary. But, you know, it's very frustrating and scary to me that, you know, if you look at it, our last couple of elections have kind of hinged on America's anti-intellectualism. And now we're being expected to have a lot of faith that these people are a lot smarter than we are and know what's best for us.
Well, so speaking of the president, speaking of the presidential candidates, both of them, John McCain and Senator Barack Obama, have obviously spoken out on this issue. We have a clip from both of them. I'm going to play them now back to back, and then we'll get your responses right afterwards.
We cannot only have a plan for Wall Street. We must also help Main Street. I'm glad that our government's moving so quickly in addressing the crisis that threatens some of our biggest banks and corporations, but a similar crisis has threatened families, workers, and homeowners for months and months, and Washington has done far too little to help.
Unemployment is up. Wages are down. Home foreclosures are incredibly high. Those people, they don't care whether technically we're in a recession or not. The fact is, they're hurting, and they are hurting very, very badly.
Now, a commentator who knows something about running political campaigns, Ed Rollins, who ran the Reagan campaign, wrote a commentary today saying that neither of these candidates has really addressed this issue sufficiently. What do you say to that, Jasmine?
Well, I just, from both of those clips, I didn't learn anything new.
I just want to
start off with that. And my biggest issue, especially just coming back from D.C. and getting ready to head back, is this. You guys can move so quickly to bail out Wall Street. I mean, Congress is getting ready to recess for the election, and they are moving at record speeds to get this done. How come we don't move that fast when it's me and you?
Now, isn't this a crisis that requires that kind of a response, would you say?
My crisis requires that kind of response, too. I'm sorry. I think the average homeowner, folks who are unemployed, who are homeless, who, you know, all of the issues that McCain and Obama just briefly touched on, those are crisis of huge proportions to us that I think as taxpayers, as people who elected these folks, look to them to give us a speedy response, but we don't get that response. But let it be Wall Street. Let it be the Good Old Boys Network, and we're willing to burn the midnight oil.
Yeah, but Ron, it's been said over and over and over again that everyone seems to agree on this. People who are a lot smarter than I am in terms of following the economy suggest that if nothing is done and done right away, that the situation for the country economically is going to be really perilous.
Well, I mean, I agree with that. The reality is when you talk about AIG alone, AIG, you're talking about perhaps individuals who have insurance funds that are tied up in that. And so, in effect, it's made we, the public, we are 80% of the owner of, say, AIG, so we have to do that. In addition to the fact, we've also made Henry Paulson of the Federal Reserve, we've made him really the czar of the country because he's just printing paper money to cover all of this. And I agree with Jasmine on that. Yes, we have to do this because the country is going to sink if this continues. And I'm not so sure after this bailout, this is why I'm saying there should be punitive action. There should be some kind of response, criminally or otherwise, because we can't just take our money, and this is our money, put it in the hands of the same people who stole it from us, like a guy that stuck you up, and then you come back and say, oh, you want this money? I gave you everything I had. Take my clothes. So essentially, you have to do something to make sure that they don't come back and do it again. And you have to give a similar kind of consideration, even individuals who took these subprime loans. They're acting like on the radio show I do, people were saying, oh, well, these are dumb people. They signed up for these subprime loans. No, they're not dumb people. The economy allowed people to convince people to do some things that may not have been the best thing for the economy.
Well, let me ask Jay Smooth, I'm going to ask you this question before we go to our break. If you were to call your representative in Congress today about this bailout package, what are you going to tell that person? Support it or not support it, and why?
We're being given the impression that we have no choice but to support it or else we'll face a global financial meltdown. But it definitely concerns me that we have a situation where everyone feels like they have to rush this through. The candidates feel like they don't want to look like they're the ones who blocked the big savior of the world. So I'm definitely worried that it'll go through without the proper oversight and without some amount. I mean, $700 billion, $1 billion of that. Something needs to go to the people who are facing foreclosure, the regular citizens who have been impacted by
this.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. We're going to continue this conversation on. I wish you could see Jasmine again. She's sitting here with her arms folded with just a disgusted look on her face. Other people around the country, Jasmine, who feel just like you, like, why is this happening? We're going to continue to talk about that in just a moment. Hold on. We'll be back. I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. We're back now with Jasmine Canik, who blogs at jasminecanik.com, Ron Scott, a blogger for the Detroit News, and Jay Smooth. He video blogs at illdoctrine.com. And we're going to continue this conversation about the economy, but I only want to ask one other question because we still want to talk about what's going on in Detroit in the mayor's mansion and even Oprah, as a matter of fact, in Saudi Arabia. I have to ask the three of you this question. What do you... Jasmine, I'll start with you. Unfold your, uncross your arms. What are you going to do, and what would you advise, say, someone in your family to do right now with their money?
The mattress. The sugar bowl up in the top cabinet. No time like the present.
It's a shame. I'm college educated, and I thought about that myself, to be honest with you. Ron, what are you saying to do?
Well, it was an old friend of mine a long time ago, and I'm a vegetarian. I go to a health food store in a near suburb here, Highland Park, and she told me, she said, you need to convert some of this money to gold, hard capital, other kinds of things like that, because you can't trust the banks. And then once you convert it to that, where you can maintain the value anywhere in the world, I would do what Jasmine suggests, probably find put some gold nuggets in.
Hold your coffee can. I got you. Right. Jay Smooth, what do you say?
What I'm hoping to do is move to Canada and then come back here as a tourist. I used to go over there, and the exchange rate was great for me, so I'm hoping I can turn the tables now. But, I have to say, I've been thinking of the mattress, too. It's definitely hard to know what the best options are
Absolutely. Put something on your mind. Well, at least in Detroit, Ron, this has taken some of the news away from Kwame Kilpatrick and all the troubles in the mayor's mansion there. On Friday, Kenneth Cockrell Jr. sworn in as Detroit's new mayor. He says he is not a hip-hopper like his predecessor, his words. He replaced Kwame Kilpatrick, as we know, who resigned from the post after pleading guilty to obstruction of justice. Here's a clip from the new mayor after taking his oath of office.
It is time that we, as well as others, stop making jokes about our city. It's time to be proud of who we are, where we live, and proud of the city of Detroit.
So, quickly, Ron, are people proud of the city of Detroit now, sans Kilpatrick as mayor?
Well, I don't know if, one change of government can make people proud. I think people always were proud of the city of Detroit. I think and some of the corporate media were not so proud. That's why they felt it necessary to plaster Kwame Kilpatrick's misdeeds across the world. Somebody actually saw it on the front page of a newspaper in Bermuda. So I think people were proud, and I think people are proud. You have to understand, here in the city of Detroit, we still have a lot of, like in other cities, there in D.C. and other places, where you have the city proper, and then you have some of the suburbs who basically relish, in many cases, the missteps of African Americans in government. And so essentially Kwame provided a great fodder for that. So I think people are proud. I think people have a hope and a focus in terms of the future. But I want to say that it was very disingenuous for Ken Cockrell, who I've known since he was a kid, to suggest that he's not a hip-hopper. Hip-hop in and of itself is not a negative. In fact, it is a culture that has, just like anything else, a number of things which are to be reveled in. And I think to buy into that image is not necessarily the best thing.
Well, let me ask Jasmine, what was your take on him, Kwame Kilpatrick, how this was covered and how it played out in the blogs?
You know, I had this conversation recently because I looked at that situation a lot like what happened here in Compton with our previous mayor. And sometimes in the community, you know, those things can be seen as a rite of passage. Like it, and I kind of got that feeling about Detroit. Like they hear, there's still a lot of support in Detroit for Kilpatrick. Just like
Absolutely.
Here in Compton,
yeah.
There's still a lot of support for these folks that went down and went on to prison. I think that the incoming mayor is going to have a lot of work to do, but I think it's too early to say. But hopefully, and I agree with the brother from Detroit, that people are proud of their city regardless. I don't think a change of guard dictates whether or not you're proud. And we always have to understand, as black politicians are always going to be under scrutiny. And if these brothers and sisters could get that into their head, that they're not going to get away with anything. In fact, they're going to be watched twice as hard and twice as long, then maybe we wouldn't have these situations like what happened with Kilpatrick.
Well, isn't that the tragedy of it, Jay Smooth? Politicians are always under scrutiny, and black politicians perhaps more so, but that's even more reason for Kwame Kilpatrick to have paid better attention, isn't it?
It's really true, because, I mean, I find it very understandable that people will stand by that sort of politician for so long. You know, closer to my home, we saw the same thing with Sharp James in Newark for a long time. And, you know, I think it's very understandable, since the system will be going the extra mile to find ways to subvert any black leader that's out there. You know, it'll be people's instinct to try to stand by them. So when one of them really is not living up to the expectations, you know, it makes it that much harder for us to be credible defending all of his peers who actually are doing great work.
I would also say,
just speaking as a representative of the hip-hop world, we didn't approve
hip-hop.
Him being called
absolutely.
The hip-hop mayor.
Hip-hop.
We had nothing
hip-hop.
To do with that.
Yeah,
do not blame us for
right.
Tommy Kilpatrick.
That's an interesting situation. Unfortunately, our time has run short. I wanted to talk about Oprah.
For president. Keep going. Sorry.
I wasn't actually going there.
But
Jasmine.
You know, we'll have to,
at least vice president.
You know, we'll have to talk about Oprah and her influence on the Saudi women the next time that we get together. You guys are
Secretary
crazy.
Secretary of State, maybe.
Jasmine Canick.
She's loved all over the world.
She blogs at jasminecanick.com. Joining us right here in our studios here at NPR West. She's smiling now. Ron Scott blogs for the Detroit News. He joined us from the studios of WDET in Detroit. And Jay Smooth, video blogs at illdoctrine.com. He joined us from our studios in New York City.
Thank you, everyone. Great conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Right.